Shalom and welcome to Congregation Beth Am's Parasha podcast. I'm Rabbi David Kornberg. I'm here with Rabbi Matthew Earn, and today we are speaking about Parashat Bo. We are in the middle of the plagues. Actually, this Parasha is the last of the set of plagues, and it begins with this idea, this plague of darkness. The Torah text tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." And it's this amazing idea of darkness that is so thick that you can actually feel it. And Rabbi Aaron, I think as we look at the way that commentators have talked about it, as we look at the way modern movies have shown it, there's this sense of magical darkness, right? Mm-hmm. Magical darkness that was on Egypt. I remember looking at the Prince of Egypt when we were watching it, you know, darkness here, light over there, and it was just magic. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that that's necessarily the way that the Torah is expressing this. And I want to dig into this concept of darkness a little bit. What are your thoughts on it?
It's interesting. Judaism frowns upon magic. And I think the reason why, one of the reasons perhaps it frowns upon magic is it's great for children, but when you link your faith, right, to something magical, and then you become an adult and you see the world differently, all of a sudden there's nothing to hold on to. So I guess that's our challenge today, is to find a way of understanding this beyond the magic. Well, I'll start with the natural world.
Go ahead.
I think you could understand this, and I learned this from a commentary from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, as a sandstorm. Thick clouds. Just imagine, and this happens, right, that a wind will rise up and lift the dust. I guess a sandstorm can last for days, almost a week, and people can't see forward. And what do you do in a sandstorm? How do you navigate? And there, I think there's many lessons that we could learn that perhaps the Torah, I would love to teach like a commentary by every Torah portion, just reading it through the natural world.
Yeah.
But what can we learn from this, from a natural sandstorm as a source of darkness? One of the things is, how do you navigate in a sandstorm? You look down. Who was comfortable being able to look down, familiar with that? The slaves, the Jewish people. So perhaps that was
they did it all the time.
Yeah, right? Now perhaps that was way. So I'm just going to put it to you, Rabbi Kornberg, like if you've ever been, you have to go back to your New Jersey days, right? How do you navigate, right, when you're in the whiteouts or the dust storms of your life?
So part of it is looking down. I think that's a great way. Part of it is being willing to trust other people, being willing to be around other people, right? Walking through a sandstorm, walking through snow, you know, holding on to someone else and following the person in front of you, where you all can get through it. Whereas if you were all on your own, you'd split up. And it'd be a lot more scary, certainly as we go through.
I recall driving on the New Jersey Turnpike when I was living on the East Coast in the middle of a whiteout. And you can't see forward, those of us who have driven in such a storm. And how did I navigate? I found the taillights of the car in front of me, right? And that was a source of so much comfort because I could just focus on that and I would be okay. And perhaps, to your point, that car in front of, it had its own car in front of that, and together we were able to navigate the storm.
Yeah, I mean, look, darkness is such an overwhelmingly scary thing for us as human beings, mm-hmm. right? It's primal, mm-hmm. almost. There are very few people that just feel incredibly comfortable mm-hmm. in the dark. There are a few, but most of us, it is something that really gets down to a deep-seated fear. And I think that may be the other side of all of this, right? You're sort of talking about the natural mm-hmm. piece in all of this. Perhaps this is also a spiritual, mental darkness that we can talk about. Yeah. And in Chagiga, actually, they talk, the Talmud talks about this idea that this darkness was a removal of the light from the beginning of creation that allowed us to see mm-hmm. throughout the whole world. Mm-hmm. And God sort of took that away, mm-hmm. and from the Egyptians at least. Mm-hmm. And it it started to close in their reality on what they were able to perceive, what they were able to see, which is a very scary thing.
You're talking about the psychological impact. And if you've ever had a moment in your life, right, or been around people, right, that are struggling with darkness or despair, right, our way of viewing the world, right, during those moments becomes much more narrow and much more limited. It's that's sort of one of the consequences, right, of being in a state of depression.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we talk about somebody who's losing their sight, mm-hmm. right, very often it's not just a one moment it's on and one moment it's off. But there's almost, in some diseases, in macular degeneration and some things, there's almost this sense of closing in and getting smaller and smaller until there's nothing left. That in and of itself is a scary thing.
Yes.
And I wonder if the darkness just occurred and just happened suddenly, mm-hmm. or if it was, to me, if I were setting this up mm-hmm. for the maximum impact, it would be this progressive mm-hmm. Darkness that just got heavier and heavier and darker. I could see that as being overwhelming.
I think you're hinting at perhaps an ethical element of this darkness, where the Egyptians became so comfortable and used to a society that allowed for the oppression of the Jewish people that it just became normative for them that there wasn't this ethical light. But for the Jewish people, we always held on to our values, and therefore our light was not extinguished.
So Rabbi Chanuch Alexander, who's a 19th century Rebbe, actually picked up on that and taught that. Well, he took from the verse where it says, and a person did not see his brother. Mm-hmm. We take that literally. You can't see the other person. Mm-hmm. But he actually took it more figuratively. And he said that each individual was only worried about themselves, that they couldn't see their brother. And that selfishness and that self-centeredness mm-hmm. was the darkness mm-hmm. that actually permeated and became part of Egyptian society. And maybe that's why the Jewish people were unaffected by that,
yep.
because they were seeing each other, caring for one another when the Egyptians weren't.
Yeah, it's a beautiful drash, and I would add on, you're explaining to me why candles, right, are a symbol of shalom bayit, peace in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because we light them at night when we can't see, and all of a sudden we are drawn to it, and who's drawn to it? Our family and our loved ones. And as they are drawn to it, we start to see each other after the busy work week at night, before we go to sleep, and we see each other's faces, and therefore Shabbat is a source of restorative relationship building that, you know, when we, during the busy work week, we can start becoming too far apart and not seeing each other, but we come back on Shabbat.
And I love the power behind a candle. It doesn't matter how dark a room is, you get one little flame mm-hmm. and it brightens it up.
Right.
Right? It becomes that taillight for you, right?
Yeah.
That's all you need, right? This oppressive darkness that's everywhere,
I know.
And there's just one little piece of light, one little spark is all we need.
You know, I think we don't appreciate just how powerful darkness is, especially psychological darkness. I know there's psychological studies that say that people don't like to hang around individuals who are depressed, because there's a contagion with those feelings. And yet, right, you just reminded us that sometimes all it takes is a spark, some positivity, a light of hope, and big change can happen.
And the connection that you made into darkness and depression is something else that actually another rabbi, Rabbi Avraham Trugman, picked up in his book, Orchards of Delight, where he actually said that this darkness that was in Egypt may in fact have been depression, right? The darkness of depression. He said they were stuck in a state of physical or emotional paralysis. And let's think about this. This is seven plagues in now.
Right.
I imagine that the people in Egypt were feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
No way out.
Right.
Like they saw their leader who kept hardening his heart or getting his heart hardened
and
wasn't going to save them.
Yeah,
and they saw, they were really in this crossfire.
Right.
And the people must have felt this overwhelming sense of depression, of darkness, Maybe yeah. that's what the plague was.
Yeah, yeah. beautiful. I will. What I'm getting out of that interpretation is, you know, they were so hard, they were so stuck. But for the Jewish people, right, we were okay. And what comes out when the first thing when we are allowed out of Egypt, the first thing we do is we establish a calendar, mm-hmm. which is cyclical and it's centered around the moon. And what does that remind us? There's going to be dark times, but there's going to be light times.
Nice.
And it prevents us from getting stuck in one of those moments as we continue just to cycle on forward into the future.
And what's always been interesting to me is that the time we celebrate is the darkest.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Yes. We don't celebrate at the full moon when it's light. Oh, we do. That's actually true. We do have a celebration for that too. But Rosh Chodesh, right? The
right.
celebration of this
right.
new month
right.
is
right.
about the potential.
Yes.
It's about
yes.
it's about the fact that even in the midst of darkness, that one month has passed mm-hmm. and a new month is filled with possibility, is filled mm-hmm. with hope. Mm-hmm. And that's how we as a people mm-hmm. see the future and see the world. And perhaps that's what protected us a little bit in Egypt as well.
To your point, our two most popular holidays, Rosh Hashanah, quite a big population gatherer for our community,
mm-hmm.
and Hanukkah,
mm-hmm.
right, occur during those dark times. And I think that message of finding hope during dark times really speaks to us.
Absolutely. Well, we hope that this podcast brought a little bit of light into your life this week. And we remind you that you can get all of our archived podcasts at www.betham.com. And we look forward to having you hear us next week for our next Parasha podcast, Shavuot Tov.